Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back to Drive Time. Our next guest has literally blown into the studio. He's okay. Abdulrazak Zaki Ahmed. We all know who he is, a South African activist and film director. He's also, as we know, co-founder of the Treatment Action Campaign and known worldwide for his activism on behalf of people living with HIV and AIDS in South Africa. He's also the co-founder of Indifuna Ukwazi, and we're going to talk a little about that in the show, but he is now a doctor, having been awarded an honorary doctorate by UCT for his relevant social activism. Okay, Dr. Zaki Ahmed, I just like saying it. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum salam. bugger, you can't call me doctor.
No, I won't. I'll go back to Zaki, but it is cool, though, in a sense. I mean, you know, that people do actually honor a person. And it's quite crazy sometimes a person gets given titles.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the important thing about this honor or any honor is that it essentially recognizes the people you've worked with and the people who've mentored you.
Absolutely.
And for me, that's the important thing about this. And I want to say thank you to UCT for doing that and to everybody who has assisted me to get where I am. I'm always part of a team.
And of course, it's a tribute to the causes that a person has stood for as well. I mean, we'll all agree that whatever cause we support is greater than us, but I'm sure you'll agree this is a recognition of things that are relevant in our society.
Absolutely. I think, I grew up in Salt River. I was in 1976 uprising, part of the student movement. And through that, through the ANC, a party I left as a member, through 1994, you know, today we live in a society that is in many ways much better off in terms of the fact that you don't have African people being raided for pass laws or any of us talking against the government being chucked in jail so far. Let's hope it continues.
Indeed. Now, of course, I want to focus on an aspect of work that you've been doing recently. You've done a lot. You were involved in the founding of Indifuna Ukwazi, you reclaimed the city. And just ironically, today, headline in the Cape Argus, people forced to sell as their rates have doubled, Woodstock, Salt River, Observatory, all that part of the city. And what we are seeing is the gentrification of a part of the city that has been home to people not just for 10 years, 20 years, but for decades, for lifetimes. And what's happening is that people who, for argument's sake, bought a house for 100,000 rand many years ago because that was the only place they could buy are now faced with like humongous rates and taxes and bills. There's an injustice going on there, isn't there?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that there are three or four types of people who in the area, and I think the first one and probably the most vulnerable are people who rent. The second are people who own. The other is the small shop owner and so on. And then there's the workshops / factory. And if I look at Woodstock particularly, Woodstock's already in a way of destroyed. Just part of Lower Woodstock isn't yet part of it. Mm-hmm. But if you take, and I don't mean destroyed in a sense the community is destroyed because it looks beautiful and it has wealth in it, but the people who live there are gone.
It's come at a cost, hasn't it?
It's come at a cost. And when people say it's gentrification, I prefer to say that it is the forced displacement of working class and poor people who've resisted apartheid, who survived here despite apartheid, and now a third wave of colonization taking place where people are being forced further and further out onto the urban periphery or put in a position where they're very desperate. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with what's happened in Bromwell Street, what's happening in Albert Road, what's happened right across starting to happen right across Salt River now.
It's sad, isn't it? Because, I mean, I also sort of stay in the area and I'm seeing communities disappearing before my eyes. The pressure gets too much. The estate agents, and they're not my favorite people right now, are completely There's no morality. It's just about the price. And so what happens is they push the price up in at the top of a road, and that house gets sold for 2 million rand, and every other house now has to go up accordingly. Yeah. Then the city council comes in, and they are also not sympathetic because they believe in neoliberalism. What happens there is that they will tell you, bad luck, you must just pay the rates and taxes or move out. When you say, where must I go to? Nobody's got an answer.
Yeah. Let me start off with renting. I remember when my grandparents had a house in Chatham Road, a one-bedroom flat, and we were about 12 people in it. Mm. And I remember the rent costing like 10 rand a month.
Right, okay. Give me that rent now.
Right. And during that entire period of the apartheid period, right up until 92, just before the ANC came to power, we had what was known as a rent control.
Mm-hmm.
And so your rent could not increase in certain areas by an amount that is greater than what the government set for it to increase. And that kept an enormous amount of people in their homes. In addition to that, you also had what was known as huurgeld vir koop, or a thing that relies on, if you've lived in a place for more than 12 years, you cannot be evicted.
Mm-hmm.
And you could only be evicted from a place if the owner was going to use it for personal use, which was defined as living there, working there, or they or their family, their immediate family. So in that sense, people who rented couldn't disappear. People who owned, like our neighbors, the Sakottis, they were in a – Mrs. Sakotti there, Sisalima, she – I went to see her the other day. She's still in her house. But I know that if it wasn't for her children who help her, she wouldn't be able to afford the rates you're talking about, and therefore she would be forced out. So in my understanding, the economic forces which you talk about and which you say neoliberalism is part of a global pressure mm-hmm. on cities and so on. And it's a choice by governments whether or not they're going to protect tenants, whether or not they're going to protect owners, and whether or not they're going to protect working class and middle class communities, and not allow rich property owners, or what we call property power, and in a certain instance here, particularly white property power, traditionally white property power, push people out. And I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the tramway C-point.
Yes, in fact, at the radio station, we have followed that story.
That story. And now, you know, you have apartments there being sold for 30 million rand. A two-bedroom apartment for 32 million rand. Astaghfirullah.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of money. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that, because it's, to me, and I'm not an economist, I'm probably an idealist, I suppose. To me, that's just too much. That's not realistic.
No, it's wrong. It's economic. Just from an economic sense point of view, it doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
because what you will have there is an asset for someone who might come and use the flat once or twice a year. It is money put into a concrete block. It is not money productively put into the economy that creates jobs.
Uh-huh.
So it's a piece of so-called wealth that lies still and doesn't create new wealth or assist society in any way. So it's not a house built for people who are going to live there to make the economy close by work. It's a house that is built there to signify how wealthy you are.
And of course, what it does, it completely negates what I would call the human factor. I mean, communities are about people, they're about human beings. They're not about, as you say, concrete blocks and very beautiful looking buildings, but there's no soul, there's nothing in them.
Yeah. I want to give you an example of one of the women in Tafelberg, the Tafelberg sale that happened. Now, many people will remember that next to the Tafelberg school on Main Road, on the grounds, if you look over onto the other side, there was a block of flats that was occupied initially by poor white pensioners under apartheid. It's government owned.
Mm-hmm.
In 1993, a woman called Selina Lahane moved in there. Now, Selina Lahane has a very tragic history in terms of housing. She was born in Cape Town, lived in Kensington in around the corner. And as an African woman, her mom was a domestic worker, but she lived with her aunt, or the people next door looked after them in the house.
Uh-huh.
In 1960, they were forcibly relocated to Guguletu, then known as Nyanga West. Eventually, she found a way back into Sea Point, living on the streets. She then became employed. Her employer gave her a place in the apartment block. And to cut a long story short, she lived like that she lived like that until 1993, when she'd married in 87. She moved into the Wynyard Mansions on Tafelberg properties. So now she thought, you know, we've got a new government, I've married a colored husband, I'm living in Sea Point, everything's changed.
Right.
Come 2012, and Bongi Kosi Madikizela and Helen Zille forces her out to Drift Sands. And this is a woman who has a granddaughter who has HIV. She has a daughter who has HIV. The kids are at school in the Sea Point area. They now have to travel every day. And the cost for a domestic worker of doing that is phenomenal, adding to. But as you say, the real human factor is, you know the street, you know your neighbor, you know the shop on the corner, you know the shop down the road, and that is what makes people human. It's almost like, I remember there was a book called Map of a Human Heart, mm-hmm. and this is like your map of your heart.
No, absolutely, and you know, the Boer Cup, it's basically a goner, you know, we know that story, and you know, Woodstock's under threat. Zaki, what can we do as communities? What can we do as people to somehow, I don't know, put a spoke in the wheel to stop this? Because we are talking about the fate of people. I mean, this is not just political theory we're talking. This is a real, real issue.
Right. Look, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is what type of city we want to live in. And the city I believe I would love to live in is one where the security guard of the building can live in the building, and if there's a CEO from around the corner, they can live in the same building with decent accommodation, mm-hmm. whether it's rented or whether it's bought, and each pay according to his income or her income. Now, for me, that is the type of city I'd love to live in. We know the difficulties of race, which we all have to overcome, and it's very difficult in the colored community in relation to the African community, and it's something that we have to struggle against and try to overcome our fear and our prejudice, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So in that sense, the type of city we need to look at is bringing people closer to suburbs and CBDs, so that people don't spend a lot of time traveling. We share the ability to keep people safe, because at the moment we're spreading police all over the place. We're spreading water all over the place. It doesn't work like that. If you densify, it's going to be better. Now, what can we do? I think what we've shown at Ahmed Kathrada House and Sissy Gull House, the two places that we've occupied, is, you know, we've occupied the most prime property now on the African continent.
All right. Okay.
opposite the waterfront. And, you know, the question is, I don't believe that one should occupy things unless you're in desperate need. Mm-hmm. And people in desperate need homes, and that's why people occupy. Now, we don't want to occupy all the land immediately outside that we want the state to build on, and the city has promised that it's going to build houses. Now, what we need people to do now is to support the court case of Reclaim the City and so on in relation to Tafelberg, because that will ensure that state land, public land, people's land, is the commons, is not sold off to the richest bidder.
Indeed, in fact, so that people who used to live in the city center can come back, because it almost seems in Cape Town as if the geography of apartheid just hasn't shifted. It's kind of stuck in a time warp.
No, I think it's not stuck in a time warp. It's gone much worse. Because
right.
if you look at Delft, if you look at further to the urban edge, what you've probably talked about on the show before, Wolverhampton and so on.
That's right, yes.
It's much worse. Mm-hmm. And so we're pushing poor working class African and colored people in particular. We're pushing people as far out onto the outskirts. And the city, Woodstock, Salt River, increasingly is becoming a place for the wealthy and super wealthy.
In fact, I know somebody that used to stay in a suburb in the city center. He'd been squatting, quote-unquote, there for 40 years, moved to Blikkiesdorp, and this poor person is now actually dying from grief.
Yeah.
It is one of the saddest things I've seen. This poor person is, I mean, I wish the city council could actually see this person who is dying from the grief of having to be so dislocated and having to live under the conditions they do in Blikkiesdorp. It's a sad story.
Yeah. What I would like to see people do is contact your councillor. Brett Heron of the Human Settlements and the Development Planning, Spatial Planning, he's issued a good plan. Contact your councillor, because I know that there will be councillors who will oppose him.
Yes, and they must be...
And they must be stopped.
Yes.
So call your councillor, do something, say, listen, the city is planning to build 10,000 units between Seapoint and Salt River Maitland. We want you to support that, because... You imagine you're a kid who just finishes school, you've qualified as a teacher. Kan jy 'n huis afford om te koop? Can you afford to rent a place in Woodstock Town, Seaborn, yeah. And increasingly not go to Maitland either?
Good points. Zaki Ahmed, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Hopefully we have made it just a little bit easier for somebody who has been listening to us about this whole human factor in terms of what's happening to our inner cities, and the fact that everybody has a right to a good quality lifestyle, and that means living close to the city. Abdulrazak, Zaki Ahmed, to give you full titles, doctor as well. Thanks for chatting to us. Everything of the best with all the causes that you're supporting. So many, too many to mention. Shukran, okay. Thanks a lot.
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Drive Time 91.3. All.